Eicha et asher kavar asuhu.
Although we mourn the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and this exile, which continues to today, it is important to recognize that the themes of exile and redemption are built into the very fabric of creation. During the 6 days of creation, the template of exile and redemption was brought into being. We see this, among other places, in the well-known Haggadah, which explains the relative sizes of the sun and the moon. The Torah initially calls them both Me'orot HaGdolim, large luminaries, but soon the Torah calls the moon the Ma'or HaKaton, the small luminary. Chazal explained this discrepancy by saying that while the moon was originally the same size as the sun, the moon claimed that two kings cannot wear a single crown. Hashem accordingly diminished its size. The moon's current condition is understood as a symbolic expression of exile, where it has been distanced from the sun and can only reflect the solar light rather than producing its own light. Indeed, to this day during Kiddush Levana, we pray for the moon to be reinvigorated, that is, for the exile and imperfection inherent in creation to be rectified. Even after creation, exile was a recurring motif long before the advent of the Jewish people. The very first man, Adam HaRishon, was exiled from paradise as a result of his sin. Cain was exiled after killing his brother. The builders of the Tower of Babel were exiled across the face of the earth. And even before Abraham had any children, Hashem informed him that his children would one day be exiled, living in a foreign land for 400 years. With this background, we can better understand the recurring motif of this kinah, that the future exile of the Jewish people was well known to our ancestors, going all the way back to Adam HaRishon. We read in the third stanza, Gada gova komat yitzir tsar, ze sefer lefanav hufsar, galmira ueinecha hufsar, ke'avir lefanav kol ne'etzar. In the Koran translation, he cut down to size the great height of the man he fashioned, revealed to Adam the book of future generations, the shape of human destiny disclosed in full detail, even the unborn passed in review before him. These lines reflect the Midrashic idea that Adam HaRishon was shown all of human history. In Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Hamud Aleph, we see, Amar Reish Lakish, Mai Dichtiv Zeh Sefer Todot Adam. What does the Pasuk mean when it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam? Did Adam actually have a book? Malamed, She'aralo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Adam HaRishon, Dor Dor V'Dor Shav, Dor Dor V'Chachamav, Dor Dor V'Farnasav. This teaches us that Hashem showed Adam HaRishon every generation and its expositors, every generation and its wise men, every generation and its leaders. And the idea specifically that Adam HaRishon was given a book that explains all of human history appears elsewhere, such as Baba Mitzia Daf Pehe Amud Bet, as well as in Zohar Breshit Nun He Amud Bet. Ukimla de Kadhava Adam Beginta de Eden. We established that when Adam HaRishon was in Gan Eden, Nachit Le Kuchabrichu, Safra Aida de Raziel Macha Kadisha. Hashem gave him a book through the hand of the holy angel Raziel. Incidentally, there is a well-known book called Raziel HaMalach, which purports to be the book referred to in this kina and in these midrashim. It is almost always printed as a tiny book, too small to read comfortably, and it supposedly protects houses from fires. I can attest that even if someone takes these agadot literally and believes that Adam had such a book, Raziel HaMalach that we have today is emphatically not that book. It is a collection of various works, most prominently a large section of a book called Sodei Razaya by the Rokeach, who lived in Germany and was among the most prominent of the Hasidic Ashkenaz. There are also sections in Raziel HaMalach from many random books, including a section from the Talmudic era book Sefer HaRazim. In this quote, and included in every copy of Raziel HaMalach, is a hymn to Helios, the Greek god of the sun. So be very careful before deciding that the book Raziel HaMalach we have today has anything to do with the ideas presented in our kina and in the works of Chazal. In any event, going back to our kina, we are told that not just Adam HaRishon knew about the future exiles, but our other ancestors as well. The fifth stanza, for example, reads, Hayah hanor mimizrach, bein habitarim oro kizarach, hera'u arba malchuyot beredem vitzarach, kitava shar hamizrach. Abraham, who arose from the east, whose light shone at the covenant between the pieces, he too was shown the four kingdoms while he slumbered, and he shrieked as the eastern gate sunk into the earth. It is fascinating to see what Rabbi Elazar HaKalir does with these motifs. While we normally think of these visions as representing promises of grandeur, such as the Brit Bein HaBetarim or Yaakov's vision of the latter, and that they also include minor allusions to exile, the Python emphasizes only the aspects of these prophecies that allude to exile. Thus, in the seventh stanza, Yaakov's vision of the latter is not seen as a great promise of God's enduring protection, but as a curse which promises destruction and exile. Even Yaakov's exclamation in the Torah, "Ein ze ki'im beit Elokim," this is nothing except for the house of God, seemingly a celebratory exclamation, is shortened here to "Ein ze," this cannot be happening. On Tisha B'Av, we don't look for the positive messages, we don't look for a silver lining. If anything, we are being told, we have to search for the most negative interpretation possible. Pessimism is the attitude of the day, for any other reaction at this point would lessen the feelings of horror that we are experiencing. And those feelings of horror are doubly painful when we realize that exile is a predictable and recurring motif in human history.